You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have with me in the studio Representative Tony Juergens with the Minnesota State Legislature. Good afternoon, Tony. How's it going today?
Oh, it's crazy times out there right now, and so I'm glad to be here. I know that people, on one hand, the legislature, the work we're doing is different than it was a week ago or a week and a half ago. But there's still a lot that we need to do, a lot that we're working on, and I appreciate this opportunity to visit with you so that your listeners can hear right from me of what we're working on and how we're working.
And of course, the big information, the big news going around still is the outbreak of the coronavirus. What is the status of the legislature as it relates to coronavirus at this point?
So we are in recess mode right now, and that's an official term so that we don't have to, typically when you're in session, you have to meet every 4 days. And when we go into a recess, then that takes away that statute or that requirement. We went into recess. I think it was about 3:30 in the morning, Monday night or Tuesday morning, when we wrapped things up. And we passed a $200 million bill for assistance to medical providers to fight the COVID outbreak. And at that time, we recessed until April 14th, or the call of the chair, meaning if all four leaders, the Speaker of the House, the House Minority Leader, the Senate Majority Leader, and the Senate Minority Leader, if the four leaders come together, they can call us in prior to April 14th, and I think they will. They just need to give us 24 to 48 hours notice so that the members from Greater Minnesota have time to get to the Capitol. But this really makes sense, I think, for us to break like this. The work does not stop. In fact, we're as busy as ever. With calls and emails. As I was driving here today, I was on a conference call, and as soon as I walk out the door, I'll be on another conference call. So the work has just changed in how we are operating and what our specific priorities are. Everything is related to, in one way or another, to the coronavirus and how we're handling it, how we're dealing with it. So the work is different than what we have been doing. In a lot of ways, it has slowed things down. So, for example, I've been hearing from a lot of our small business owners wondering what the state is doing to help them. And the reality is, at this point, not enough. The employees have access to unemployment benefits. The employers, small business employers, they have no such thing at this point. We're hearing from the federal level that there will be small business association loans available, but a lot of the businesses are in a position right now where they've already borrowed, and they're relying on their cash flow to make payments on those loans, and they're not maybe in a position to take out additional loans. Even if it's an interest-free loan, it's something that still needs to get paid back. So those are all things that we're working on, and in a normal, if there is such a thing, a normal legislative session, that's something that we can work on. We can go down the hall and talk to the people that we need to talk to and have meetings to move these things along. When you're working remotely or virtually like we are, that slows that process down. It takes phone calls and emails and trying to get to the right people. And so that changes the effectiveness, but we still continue to field the phone calls, the emails, other contacts that we get from our constituents with specific concerns, and do what we can to help alleviate those.
You mentioned that it kind of alters the priorities a little bit, and you went through an example. What are some other ways that this situation has affected how the legislature works?
Well, we've had a lot of conference calls just to keep up with what bills that we need to move along. Again, most of them having to do with coronavirus, some of them not. Some of them are other important issues that we still need to continue to work on. But one of the challenges that we have is that so much of what is changing on a daily basis is as a result of executive orders from the governor. And I've heard from a lot of people that are very pleased with his leadership through this, some people that maybe don't agree with all of the decisions that he's making, but they see it as him being a leader. The downside to all of this is that at this point, the legislative branch is not part of the process as we would like. And the people that elected me are counting on me to be that voice for them. And so it's harder for us to do our job that we were elected to do when we're not in session, when we're not in committee meetings, when we're not drafting bills and hearing bills and negotiating and on these bills and amendments. So it's the people of Minnesota deserve to have their voices heard. And in many cases, that's through their representatives. So I still have a line into the governor's office, and I've sent just today 3 emails that I wanted to get to him directly on issues that were brought to me by residents right here in Hastings or within the district.
And can you speak to any of those issues particularly?
Well, it's things like who's going to be, if this becomes a shelter-in-place situation and certain jobs are considered essential, who would that be? Who would fit into an essential worker? You might not think of trash haulers, but
right.
You know they are. I mean,
right.
We need to be able to continue mm-hmm. that process. I thought of that as the tent of sanitation came down the road to my house the other day. I thought, I'm glad that they're doing that. I'm glad that they're continuing that. Of course, child care, that's one that I've heard from a lot of individuals about the need for child care and the child care businesses that are being asked to do business differently. They all have their own business model. They're the children that they care for. It's like a family, and they're being asked to take on additional families to help out with first responders or teachers or people that need to continue to go to work to help the rest of us that are struggling with child care. So the child care centers are being asked to open their doors and take these kids in as well. So it's a different business model, perhaps, than what they're accustomed to. I heard from a local Hastings resident, a friend of mine, that said, don't forget about the professional musicians. That's something I had not thought of, but professional musicians, they play in bars and restaurants and clubs, and that's not happening right now. So that's people that I would not have thought of in how we're going to take care of these small businesses or independent contractors that are they're not seeing a paycheck right now. And so those are the types of things. Liquor stores, if a grocery store is going to be considered essential, is a liquor store going to be considered essential? So those are the types of questions that I'm getting. Of course, a lot of people with having loved ones that are under the care of personal care attendants and how that's going to continue to work, and are they going to be able to continue to work? What new precautions do they have to take to protect themselves, the PCAs, and their clients? So it's really almost anything that you could imagine as an issue
mm-hmm.
is something that has come up to in somebody's mind and they've called or emailed on that issue.
Yes, a situation like this really tends to help. It tends to get people to look at things in just a little bit a different way than they normally do. You know, we put the blinders on, go about our daily stuff, and now we have all this other, you know, all these things that we have to consider that we just don't normally do. There have been a number of efforts that have started up in support of small businesses and individual or independent contractors, like you've mentioned. Have you heard anything positive coming out of this coronavirus situation from where you are?
You know, the one positive, and it really doesn't surprise me, especially here in the Hastings area, in the Cottage Grove area, that the generosity of people here when the call goes out for help, This community always steps up, and that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing new Facebook groups that are being created in order to share information. People will go in and ask if anybody has access to baby formula or diapers or anything like that that they are unable to find at one of the grocery stores, and other people that are stepping up and helping out. We talked about a little bit about the different industries that have been shut down right now, the restaurant industries, and I'm seeing a lot of people that are sharing information on who's available, who's open for curbside or takeout food, and I'm noticing a lot of people that are taking advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're buying gift cards. That's one thing that I made a suggestion on my weekly update is help those small businesses by buying a gift card. They rely on that cash flow, and the cash flow isn't there. Yep. From a regular order of business. And so let's, you know, if we can do that, something like that, to help them with some cash flow now. Because the thing is, we want these businesses to survive this so that the employees that are out of work right now have a job to go back to, that these
right.
business owners that have invested in their business, that they are able to survive this, because in many cases this is their livelihood. This is their retirement, this is their income, this is everything. And so these businesses need to stay afloat for those business owners, but also the employees, so they have a job to go back to. And for us as consumers too, we want to be able to go back to our favorite restaurants and favorite
yes.
stores when
yes.
when this is done.
And we mentioned it, I don't remember if it was here, but it has been mentioned that buying those gift cards and gift certificates can almost be viewed as a promissory note from the consumer to that business owner that
I'll be back.
We support you. We'll be back when things are a little bit calmer, shall we say.
Yeah, we had takeout last night from I did step outside the district a little bit. I went to the Park Cafe in St. Paul Park.
Mm-hmm.
Former Representative Keith Franke, a friend of mine who owns that, and I've had conversations with him, so I know that takeout has been a small part of his business. Now it's the only part of his business, and there's a lot of other restaurants that are in the same boat. So we went there and picked up dinner, and we'll do the same for many of our local establishments here in Hastings and Cottage Grove.
And it's kind of interesting to see, too, with other businesses like M&H Gas Station up on top of the hill from us. They usually have a pretty sizable gathering of people in the morning sitting at that little window that looks out on
right,
Vermillion
at the counter.
Street. They had to take those stools away. So it really does affect the everyday life of things that maybe you don't even consider are just kind of usual. And I was talking with one of those representatives in there today, or I was talking with one of those representatives, and they said it's been really, really slow, which kind of is interesting to me, because a lot of vehicles are still out and a lot of people are still out, you know, needing to buy gas and stuff. It's just amazing how much one thing like this can completely redefine what normal is.
Yeah, and gas prices continue to go down. I just saw I filled up earlier today at 209, and I just saw it's down to 199. So
wow.
I don't know if that's a, you know, for consumers, we look at that as, well, maybe that's a benefit of this, but you know, you got to wonder about the suppliers of that, if they're making any margin whatsoever on $1.99 per gallon gasoline. I don't know.
Yeah, and if knowing a little bit about those kind of issues too, if fuel has to sit in the ground for a number of months because it's not being used, gasoline itself is
yeah.
not really stable, so
yeah.
you have to consider that kind of thing. There's going to be losses there, and it's all kind of different stuff.
Yeah, in grocery stores, you know, we've gone into grocery stores just today to stock up on some things, and the shelves, in many cases, they're still very well stocked, but there are a lot of items that are just nowhere to be found at this time, and so people are going back on a daily basis to see if they can get the staples that they need. And I think that the concern is that the next step would be a shelter in place where only essential employees are allowed to leave their homes, or asked to leave their, other than that, you're asked to stay in your home. And again, with no restaurants or to go out to, if you're not choosing to do takeout, there, maybe more of us are cooking at home too, and remembering how where the kitchen is and what it's used for.
Kitchen? What's what's a kitchen? No, and we're talking today with Representative Tony Juergens as the COVID outbreak affects daily life here in the Hastings area, KDWA listening area. As we get ready to wind up here, we just have a couple of minutes left. What other encouragement can you provide for your constituents and our listeners?
Well, just from my point of view, trying to keep some normalcy. One of the top issues we were looking at coming into this session is a bonding bill. We have had conference calls and discussions about what that might look like. We don't know how this session is going to end. We don't know if we'll continue, maybe get back to somewhat normal after April 14th, or maybe not. So it's very possible that we would come back and have to be ready to move immediately on a bonding bill if we're going to pass one. And I've said many times that I don't think you pass a bonding bill because it creates jobs. I think you do it because projects make sense, because we have certain responsibilities to our colleges, our universities, and other local levels of government. But now with what we're facing, maybe the jobs that come from a bonding bill, maybe that is a good enough reason to do that. So I think it's very important that we are still able to do that. And that's one of the things that we are continuing to work on, even if it's in a little bit different format. And so if that is what the direction we need to go, we need to make sure that we're able to move quickly.
And then, of course, reminding the listeners that the bonding bill is for one-time projects coming out of whatever kind of budget surplus we've been talking about, and that might be a great way to restart the economy once this passes over.
Yeah, I think the bonding bill is still as important as it was before, and in many cases maybe even more so.
All right. We're about out of time, Representative Juergens. I'd like to thank you for coming in, but one more time, really briefly, give us your contact information.
The best right now is an email, rep.tony.juergens@house.mn. I am retrieving voicemails if you call 651-296-3135.
Excellent. You have been tuned in to Community In-Depth. I'm your host, Mike Rood, for this segment. This is KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7.